Welcome to Black Teachers Connect podcast, a podcast for all things education. Hi everyone, welcome back to the BTC podcast. It's been a long time, but we're back. We're better and ready to get into a few things. I'm joined with my amazing team members, Mary and Ashley. You guys want to just say hi?
Hi, everyone.
Hey, BTC family. It's really good to be back and to be able to speak on a few things. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to the chat that we are about to have.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we are recording this on the 2nd of September. A new academic year is dawning on us. Am I right in saying that this will be the third academic year impacted by COVID?
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
That sounds wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually crazy, especially when I think of when I first heard about COVID and the pandemic or the outbreak in China, to think that, you know, in 2021, actually, we're still talking about it. And as you're saying, it's impacting a third academic year. Absolutely crazy.
It's crazy.
It just feels surreal.
Honestly. Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, guys, we're here, September 2021. I haven't gone back to work yet, but I know both Mary and Ashley have gone into school. So guys, how's that been for you? What has that looked like? Mary, if you want to start, what has that been like for the first day going back?
So I went back to school yesterday, and to be honest, it was really good. It was nice to see everyone. And then obviously the new staff have joined our team, so it was nice to meet everyone and just to go over, iron things out, have set out expectations, set out goals, and just basically look at what is going to change in the school after, like, especially since we had COVID, we had a lot of restrictions. We had a lot going on, so we just looked at what has changed now that we've come back. And then today we actually had a Meet the Teachers Day. So the children were able to come in. So it was from 2 till 4. The children were able to come with their parents to meet their new teacher. And
that's nice.
So what we did is we had an informal chat, but basically just told them what they'll be learning this year, the timetable, behavior expectations. Parents were able to ask any questions. They're able to come and see their new classroom. And yeah, it was good. It's good. It feels good to be back in terms of being with the team, definitely. And it's better that a lot of things that we were quite restricted before. So it's not as bad. However, there's still some things that are in place that we had when we were going through the whole COVID situation. So there's some things that have not changed. And then it's less restricted. That's the word that I'll use. Yeah.
How about yourself, Ashley?
Yeah, so for me, I also started yesterday, so Wednesday. And it's been, so the next few days, or yesterday, today, tomorrow, are inset days. And so it's always good kind of starting the year with inset days, because you kind of ease your way into the academic year. I must admit, waking up yesterday in the morning, I had to put my alarm on snooze a few times, and I just couldn't get myself out of bed, because I was just like, I don't want to do this. Just because you feel like, yes, it was 5-6 weeks of holiday, but it never feels like it's enough. And so you're literally dragging yourself out of bed. But having said that, actually, going into school and seeing everyone, it was actually quite nice. I did feel a bit more refreshed when I was actually in school. And it was nice because, as Mary said, there are fewer restrictions. And so when we've had our inset sessions, we've actually been able to come together as a staff body. Whereas last year, I didn't actually see a lot of colleagues because of the restrictions. And so there were some members of staff that I hadn't seen for like a year, just because in the secondary schools, like the hustle and bustle of everything, and the fact that you're in one end, some other members of staff are in another end. Mm-hmm. So you might have just not seen them. Members of staff that were new last year that I never even met before. So it was good to see some faces and to not actually have to interact via Teams. And so, it hasn't been a bad start. It's been cool. As I said, nice to ease into things. The students are coming back next week. So, yeah, it's been all right.
Wow. Well, I guess you could say I'm one of the lucky ones that hasn't.
Yes, you are.
Yesterday's sleep. Woo, when I woke up this morning, I said, I'm definitely going to be in trouble the next morning, because this morning I could not get up. Is it just me? But it's like, as the holidays draw to an end, the sleeps get sweeter. And it's don't want to get up. But it's like, it's like, why? Like, why would you be doing this to me? Like, please, come on. Like, let me live. So, I've not gone back yet. I've had a lot of emails about prep to go back, which I actually... Oh, anyway, if anyone from my school is listening to this, they can understand. I find it a little bit disrespectful that you start emailing me before holidays are done. Yeah. And when I say start emailing me, I mean you are flooding my emails. Mm. And there's information for me to take in. It's not just an email of, okay, guys, like, just a reminder, inset days on the 3rd. Like, you're actually flooding my stuff. Why can't that email come into my inbox on Friday at 8 a.m.?
Yeah,
schedule it to do that. So I'm feeling ready to go back, but I feel like there's almost something looming where I could potentially feel overwhelmed. So I'm a little bit apprehensive, but I'm still really looking forward to kind of just getting back to a routine, which I'm sure you guys can like understand. It's that routine that every day, like, I need it back, because I think it's gone.
Yeah, honestly, I feel that during the holidays, my productivity levels are just non-existent. So in terms of doing things outside of being a teacher, all of that stuff kind of falls behind, because, as you're saying, the routine of being a teacher, like, actually puts me in check for everything else as well. So I've been, now that I've started, I've been able to put things back into place and pick up new things as well. So the routine is actually massively needed.
Absolutely. So I'm just really kind of excited to get back, but I am nervous. But I'll definitely update you guys on the next episode, like, of how it went. But it's exciting. So it's a new year. So in regards to both of you, have any of you got any new roles that you're taking on, anything new that you'll be doing in school that you kind of want to share with our BTC family?
No, I'm still history lead in my school. I haven't taken on anything new this year. I'm decided that I kind of want to enjoy teaching, because sometimes I find that when you take on a huge, or take on like different roles, it sometimes takes away the enjoyment of being in the classroom. And I did say to my head teacher, because before I was leading history and geography, and I did feel it was overwhelming. So I decided that I would just lead history, and then that will enable me. And I was also head of house as well. So I dropped the head of house role, and I'm just going to lead history, and that's it. Because for me, I just want to be able to enjoy being in the classroom, and I want to enjoy being able to just engage with the, give the children all my time and not feel that I'm always like giving them, I'm always being called out of class to do stuff, or I don't get to spend as much time with them. And so that's what's kind of changed for me. Yeah. And that for me, I'm going to be honest, I had to put my pride to the side, and I had to make that decision. And it was after I made the decision, especially after there was one on the teacher's radio. I think it's Genevieve. She interviewed someone, and they were talking about how they were in a deputy role, and they actually left that role because the workload was too much. And it made them, so it, that for me, I was like, you know what, you are making the right decision. So yeah, that's the change for me.
So like Mary, I haven't got a new role, so still head of the department at my school. So no new roles, but definitely new aspirations and new goals. But I'm sure we'll speak about that in a bit. But in terms of roles, no.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
I'm the same. I've said it this year, and you know, I might talk about this on a later episode about what my plans are, because it might come. I don't want people to listen and think, oh my gosh, like, yeah. You don't want to be a teacher, but it's not necessarily that. But you know, I think my goals and my aspirations, so having those new goals and these new aspirations is something that we will definitely touch on today. But there is stuff that I want to share with our family just about like my own journey with teaching and my own struggle. And I'm sure you guys have probably felt it coming into this academic year, kind of like the excitement, but also like the, oh, like the stress coming back, kind of the late nights, the marking, the moderation, the meetings, you know, those are the extra stuff to deal with, the behavior. And I think on the surface, when we look at teaching, it's a lot to do with, oh, okay, so teachers just teach, and if they want to, they can move up to becoming deputy head of department, or they can be head of years, or they can be head teachers. I think people look at teaching as a very kind of linear process.
Yeah.
So it's not what, it doesn't involve a lot of work. It's almost as like every year you move up. But as Mary said, I think sometimes when you move up, you don't get to enjoy the what you came into the profession for. And for the past 2 years, we've kind of been robbed of that enjoyment of being able to just really just deliver a lesson and enjoy it and not have to worry about if this bubble's going to shut down tomorrow or if this teacher's going to go off and have to isolate. So I think, you know, those things have definitely left a lasting impact on me, which is kind of why maybe I haven't pursued anything different this year. But I think I might have mentioned in the podcast before, guys, that I was supposed to start my MA this September. Guys, I'm not gonna lie, I have deferred my MA again to next year.
Okay, and why's that?
Oh my days, I have deferred again because I just can't, I'm just not in the mindset. I don't have the mindset for it right now. I'm not ready to say to myself, I can be going to, because this was what my university was saying. They were saying, in order to do this course, you have to commit to coming to the seminars from 6 to 7:30 on Tuesdays after school and Wednesday. And I thought, what? Like me who said that's this time to be snatched for summer, like I'll be snatched full of biscuits. That's what I'll be eating on the way there.
Because
I'll be able to be making mad. Do you know what I'm saying? Like I'm just I'm not in a mindset where I'm as disciplined to be able to manage that. Like I see so much amazing people manage their time well and do these things. You know, I know someone who's pursuing a PhD whilst being a full-time teacher and also having some leadership roles, but I can't do it personally for me. I'm not there yet. I probably can do it. Those are probably the words I shouldn't say, but my mindset isn't there yet. You have to have the discipline. So that's kind of where I'm at with what's new going on with me. In terms of aspirations and goals, I don't know. Should maybe Black Teachers Connect in itself. Mary, you've obviously launched the mentorship team of recent. I don't know if you want to talk to our family about that.
So I am excited to announce that we have officially launched our mentorship program. Black Teachers Connect, we are all about supporting. And I think that's a fundamental role that we want to have. We want to be able to support people. So the mentorship scheme, we were able to reach out to different head teachers. We've got executive heads, we've got ex-teachers, ex-leadership, people who've been in lead SLT or who've even left the profession, and they will be mentoring for a whole year So they'll be mentoring, I think we've got about 15 candidates. We've got about 15 mentors and 15 mentees, and they will be mentoring them. And they will be taking them through their either their trainee teaching year or maybe their NQTs, and we have RQTs. So they will actually be supporting them throughout their teaching journeys, just the beginning stages. And we think it's very important because I personally believe that their expertise, their knowledge, also their experience will be very valuable to their mentees. And I'm just looking forward to the year to see how it goes. Obviously, it's the first year that we've ever done this. So I am trying my best and knowing that it will be, I have to be very flexible because it's the first time we've done it. But I'm just happy that we are, the things that we are putting in place, that they are making an impact, and that's what we're here to do. So I'm really excited about it. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm like ecstatic, and the work you've put in for this program, it's amazing. And I think like this is what we want to see coming out of Black Teachers Connect, you know, having a more experienced teacher mentor you in your early career is invaluable. You know, my mentor when I was at my first placement school when I was training was a Black woman, and I think that really had a massive impact on me and how I viewed myself, how I viewed my practice, how I viewed my development. It really had an impact on me with someone that's able to just relate to you, the way they can talk to you. You know, it's just a different feeling, and it's hard to describe, but I'm sure once our mentees and mentors finish the program, we can get them onto a podcast episode to kind of talk about the experience. But, you know, for me, it's like the most amazing thing. And honestly, Mary, like kudos to you, because it's so well planned that, you know, I was when I was reading through it, I was thinking, damn, you know, maybe I should just say I need to train again because I want to.
I have to second that because I feel like mentorship in life in general is so key. So I feel like a lot of successful people have actually had mentors in life, and so of to course, be able need, to even yeah
definitely because I had a mentor and my mentor was a Black woman, and when I had her, like the first day I met her, like she was just like, she really believed in me and she saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And all the time I was like, no, don't want to teach, went to resign. How many times? She was like, no. She was like, and she was literally like, she just held my hand through my journey. And the thing is, I had another mentor before her who wasn't, let's say, the best of people. And this mentor just stepped in, and stepped in at the right time. And I have seen how important it is, because you learn from your mentor. But the beautiful thing is they've been where you are at that time. So they can tell you that, you know what, you're not the only one that's been through this. I've also been through it. And this is, and they can share their experience. And sometimes, you know, sometimes some people have to uncover themselves in order to cover you. So uncovering maybe their experiences and things that they've gone through, and giving you maybe good practice, maybe when they watch your lesson and they might say to you, okay, that didn't go too good. However, next time you could do this, and then you implement, and then you learn, and then that's what it's about. And I feel like teachers, we are not with the title, but we are mentoring our students because they're learning from us. So that's why I think mentorship in general, regardless of whether it's financially, whether it's in your whatever area of your life that you have a mentor, it's guidance. A mentor is there to guide you.
Absolutely. And I think just even off the back of what you're saying, you know, mentors like share their experience, their experience with you. And I know we say experiences a good or the best teacher, but you don't have to always experience it. Like you can have that vicarious experience through someone else to be able to say, to be able to learn from it. And I think that's when like a mentor can really be useful. So yeah, I think it's an amazing program, and I wish that when I was in my PGCE/NQT year, I had a mentor outside of, you know, the school, because you do have the school ones, but you know, when it's outside of your work environment, it hits a bit differently, I think, because I feel like there's more of a personal touch to it as well. So yeah, it's an amazing program, and yeah, looking forward to hearing the feedback from it.
Yeah, absolutely, and the success stories.
Yeah,
I'm excited. And you know, we have a lot of things in the pipeline. I don't want to delve too much into them, but you know, I'm really excited about what's to come for us this year. In February next year, we'll celebrate, you know, 1 year being a CIC, and it's been a journey, you know. I just think it's really interesting, I think, because, you know, we are Black teachers for Black teachers, if that makes sense, you know. All the team are teachers, and it's just really exciting to see the work that's going into, you know, curating everything to do with Black Teachers Connect. And yeah, I think one thing I want to say is just the support is just amazing. Like, when I see people out, and they're like, oh my gosh, like Black, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, we're really actually impacting on people. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, when people message and say, like, I'm always looking forward to what you're going to post on Instagram, I'm like, huh? Like,
yeah,
you guys are really like taking in the content, and the support means a lot, because I think the support helps us to keep going when you recognize the impact that you're having on people.
And so, just to even say, it's always crazy when other teachers send me content from Black Teachers Connect, and I'm like, ooh, this is that. I'm like, yeah, that was a good post for sure. Or when, like, I've had a friend be like, yeah, she was in a meeting at school, and like, yeah, they referenced Black Teachers Connect. I'm like, no way. And so it's like almost, you know, you always feel like, wow, this is amazing to be a part of. And it's a movement, you know, because it's actually infiltrating into different places and going far. So it's amazing.
100%.
Yeah,
amazing. Like, it's just really exciting, and I just want to thank everyone for that support. And in terms of, you know, aspirations, do you guys have any personal aspirations that you want to share with our BTC family? I mean, you know, I definitely want to, and this might sound bad because I'm supposed to keep people in the classroom, but I do want to basically start my transition out of the classroom and mainly into consultancy, I think.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's where my passion lies.
Yeah.
Just connect as well. I mean, I love the classroom, don't get me wrong. I love my students, but there's something about teaching, and I was speaking to another teacher about this the other day, that I think COVID has really put a dark cloud on everything, kind of. It's really changed the way teaching looks and feels, almost. And it's made very uncertain. Like, for example, the exam periods are so uncertain. I think people are dealing with so many different amounts of stress. Nothing is regulated, you know. You have one school who asks for one piece of evidence, and you've got another school who's asking for 10. Obviously, that means that the profession is completely different across the board. Do you know what I mean? It's like two people can be like bankers and their jobs will be pretty similar, but I feel like two people will be teachers, and on one end of the spectrum, the school is like a dictatorship. It's like, it's run like a boarding school, or it's run like, I don't know. I was going to use this. I was going to say plantation, but let me know. Let me not say that, because I always refer to people like that. But listen, it's definitely, just for me, the disparity is ridiculous when I talk to teachers.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no regulation. Like, yeah, we have unions. Yeah, there are rules in place. But it just seems as though some teachers are just really feeling the brunt of things, myself included. And yeah, you know, I'm that's one of my aspirations, but you know, I'll talk more about that, you know, as we go through more
episodes. Yeah.
But how about you guys, your aspirations, how are you feeling?
I'm like you. I love being in the classroom, don't get me wrong, I do love it, and honestly, like, I'm just always it's what I was born to do. However, I just feel that I want more. There's like a burning. I'm still trying to find what the yearning is, but I feel like there's something more that I need to do. Like there's just so much more. And for me, my main area that I really want to delve into is behavior for learning. Because I feel that it's a barrier to why children, a lot of people, children are not successful in their education because of their behavior. Mm-hmm. So that's where my desire is, to just delve into that and just to kind of like, just see where I can. I'm all about change and impact. Anything I do, I just want to impact and make change. So I think that's, yeah, but within the school system. So wherever the doors will open for me, that's kind of where like my heart is at. And like you said, COVID did change things for me, because I think working from home and then being in back in the classroom, it really did, I saw the difference. And just in terms of stress levels, and I've learned how life is so short, and I think it's very important that not to be taken for granted. Right. And especially with teachers, our mental health, our well-being, workload, and trying to even have a social life on top of trying to balance doing our jobs as well. And I just think sometimes people didn't realize how much work the teachers did put in, especially during the pandemic, because to be honest, a lot of parents were like, you carried us, like they saw. But I feel like in terms of external agencies, I feel people didn't really see, or teachers were not bigged up enough, especially by the government. We did not. We had to come with our A game every day on the screen, and it was hard. It was really hard. Do you know what I mean?
It's true. I think in terms of, for me, in terms with regards to aspirations, I feel like I'm still very much so that I'd like to stay in schools, but I'm very much so wanting to go up in terms of leadership, so looking to move into senior leadership. Right. And I remember when I first spoke to Ria, and when it was, when we were talking about even joining the team, the first conversation we had, it was off the back of George Floyd, and obviously the devastating events around his death. But my thing was, I remember that people were protesting, and I think protests are valuable, and there are different forms of protests, and different ways to make change. And so for me, I just felt like, and the reason why I even sought out Black Teachers Connect was because I felt like we as a community need to be in the positions where change can happen. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I have made it a point to try and occupy certain positions in society so that we can see change. And we know the statistics about teachers when it comes to senior leadership. We know that there's not enough. And we know the impact. We're on the ground. We know the impact that has on our students and our outcomes and, you know, our positions in society. And so for me, I'm very much so looking in that direction for that reason. I'm just like, yeah, we need to occupy these positions. We need to go into leadership. And I think even in terms of what you're both discussing, consultancy as well, it's important because, you know, the schools need to be advised, you know, in the correct way. There needs to be, you know, available and credible advisors from our background as well to really give good advice. So yeah, that's why for me at the moment, I'm still very much like, okay, I'm going to stay in schools for a bit and just go through the leadership route type thing.
It sounds amazing. I think it's good to have those goals, and like definitely in terms of the impact that you're trying to create, it's just really important, I think. Because sometimes, and I mentioned this yesterday when I was speaking about there was people, someone was talking about an academy online, basically. I won't mention the academy's name, but I was just talking about the fact that sometimes people stay in teaching for the money, and they don't stay in it. They don't want to move up because they want to have impact on the kids or anything like that. But then sometimes I think to myself, well, what if that was the mindset of my teachers? Would I be who I am today if their focus was monetary and not on having a massive impact on the students that they serve? Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And for me, I just think that's really important. And that's why I don't think, for me personally, teaching isn't a profession that you can take lightly. Neither is leadership or things, because you are having a massive impact on someone, the rest of someone's life. Education shapes you for the rest of your life. And if you now resent the education system, imagine what that will look like.
Yeah, so, exactly.
For me, I just think it's really important that we ensure that our kids feel valued.
Yeah.
All times. So I'm really excited for you. That sounds great then.
Yeah. So great. Hoping that it's the journey goes well, because we know the struggles, and so I know that we know the struggles anyway. So just hoping to be able to get through it all, and it's interesting, and it's so good to be able to, you know, speak to other teachers about their aspirations as well. And sometimes, you know, when you're in school, you don't really get to have these type of conversations. You don't really know. And some people want to keep it to themselves because it can get a bit competitive sometimes. And so, it's good to hear what everyone else is thinking as well. So, it's nice.
Wow. I think it's really important. And, you know, we, as you said, we do know the struggles, and the struggles are real. And there are struggles that we're going to be facing when we go back into a new academic year, as of every year. You know, I think, as much as we go into the year and we say this year is going to be different, I think we get to October and we're like, damn, poof, this has been hard. This has been hard, because the weather changes. And for me, massively impacts on me when the weather changes. If anyone knows me personally, don't ask me to come out when it's raining. Because
me and you are the same. Rain, I don't do rain. I can do cold.
Right.
I can do hot. But rain, no. Even the kids know. When I have to go and collect them from, they will tell you, they'll be like, my teacher is there. Everyone's like, where? They'll be like, Miss, she's not coming out. They'll be like, if there's no umbrella, she's not coming outside.
That is so funny. I can't. Oh, gosh. And that's what annoys me when the fire alarm goes off in school and it's raining, and you just need to be out on the fields without an umbrella. So, like, for me, you always catch me with my jacket and my umbrella. Yeah,
mine's always next to me. Always next to me.
Always.
An umbrella in the car, you know. Now that you guys remind me, let me make a note of that, because I get caught out quite a lot. You know what I like? I like a dry, crisp morning. You know when the autumn leaves are crunchy? When the autumn leaves are wet. The one thing I hate is wet leaves. So that's gonna be a struggle for me, because when I start seeing things like that, I get vexed. Like, I just, my whole mood for the day is like
just changing.
Come in and they smell like damp.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that as well. I hate that. Yeah.
You know what? I don't know if I ever told you guys but one time I was walking with an umbrella because it was raining, and I came into form time and my kids came in after, so they're year 8, about to be year 9. And I said to them, why don't you have a jacket, or like, why don't you have an umbrella? And they were like, oh, miss, like, wearing a big puffer jacket is embarrassing.
Oh my god.
Like, I was like, what? And they were like, no, wearing a jacket like that is embarrassing. So I said to them, so what about carrying an umbrella? And one of my students was like, carrying an umbrella, like, that's even worse. Like, that's so embarrassing.
Are you serious? Embarrassing to carry an umbrella? I can't actually do.
What's wrong with these kids?
Every year there's something crazy that these kids come out with. Every single year. So I didn't realize it was embarrassing to carry an umbrella.
Yes, they were like, it's so embarrassing to walk down the street and carry an umbrella. And I was like, wow.
Wow. They clearly don't have, I don't know if any of them are black and their hair, because for me, when I was in secondary school, I went to an all-girls school, and so we always had umbrellas because of our hair. Yeah. Especially the black girls, because it's like, if you have your hair, if your hair's natural and it gets wet, it's a problem. If it's relaxed and it gets wet, it's a problem. So you always had to carry an umbrella just to preserve the hair. But maybe our focus was completely different at that time. So yeah, that's crazy.
If not, then also, what will people were putting plastic bags on their head if they didn't have an umbrella.
That's jokes.
I mean, they're not really better. They said they'd rather be soaked wet than carry an umbrella. So I said, all right, you know, who am I?
Yeah, no, never that. But yeah, I was also just thinking, in terms of, as we start this academic year, do you ladies feel like there are, we know of the typical struggles of being a teacher. Do you think that there are any new struggles that we might be facing, or that you might anticipate coming along? Is there anything new, or is it just the same old, marking, lack of time?
It's so interesting, because I think, not even that I think it will be a struggle, but something that I think might be a bit better this year is the fact that maybe and hopefully real exams will be back.
Pressure
of predicted grades and these things won't be placed on me, and that I can finally get summer back, because me teaching such older year groups like year 11 and year 13, summertime is supposed to be my big massive reduction, but I had no downtime at school. So although my year 11 and 13 left to go wherever they went on study leave, if you want to call it that, once they'd finished their exams, that was it, because I was marking so much. I had three periods, but I was marking non-stop. So I don't see it being a new struggle. I see that getting better, but in terms of a new struggle, I think my personal struggle might be dealing with the fact that there will be positive cases, but no one's going home.
That is true. That is something. And I think the thought of that is crazy. The thought of that can be quite worrying, and I don't know, people might feel quite anxious about that, still being around and being in close contact with someone that has had this so-called life-threatening disease, and we are all still about going about our business. It's a real shift compared to what we have been taught, or how we've been instructed to react. If you come in close contact, you isolate for 10 days and now you just go about your business. It's crazy. It feels weird. It will feel really weird.
It's so odd. And I know I'm going to start moaning.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear
Say that again?
I don't want to hear my students moaning about it, because anytime you say something, they act like you created the rules. And I'm just like, am I the government? Am I the head
of the government? I know. And just off the back of what you were saying in terms of the pressures of doing the teacher assessed grades, what's everyone, just really quickly, I know this is a bit off topic, but what's everyone's thoughts on the exam results and the grades? And so, I mean, we basically had record levels of A's and A's for A levels. What are our thoughts on things like that? Do we feel like that was truly reflective of where students really were? Do we think that maybe some teachers were a bit more generous? I mean,
I don't think it's a true reflection, because all I can say, hopefully the teachers have done it, have been honest with the grading. However, because we don't have the actual normal assessments, it's very, very hard to determine whether they're a true reflection or not. That's the truth.
That's the thing. And I think my concern that comes from, I personally think that my school were quite rigorous in their approach, and I don't know if that was the case for many other schools. And my concern actually comes from some of the private schools, and whether the pressures of the parents that are paying thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds for their children to go to these schools might have really got them, you know, doing, I don't know. I just don't know. I feel like I don't know where other schools were, what the standards were, but I think my school's standards were quite rigorous. But I'm worried that maybe other schools may have not been, if we've had such record levels of A star, A grades. It's a bit like questionable.
It is, and it's, to me, it's quite weird actually, because I think one thing we have to remember is last year a lot of teachers were penalized for being harsh and predicting too low. This year, I think teachers wanted to avoid that and they wanted to overpredict. But I think, you know, it's, for me personally, from my experience, no shade to students, but from what I recognize from some year 13, not all, but some, there was a culture of a lot of laziness. And you're finding that more and more with students as they come up, you know. It's like, for example, like my year 10, about to be year 11. Let's not forget those, the current year 11, off the top of anything, sorry for diverting, but the current year 11 that are about to go into this academic year, remember, they've had year 9 messed up and year 10. So this current year 11, if you're telling me they're going to do real exams, the exam results for 2022-23, am I right? Is it 22-23 or 21-22?
Yeah.
Those grades, I think, are going to be completely different to the ones before. Because I think you really reflect the fact that it just doesn't make sense. But I think overinflating grades is dangerous for universities, because you've been told you have an A-star student in English, but really they're a C. And what does that do? That's crazy.
Yeah. But my thing is, like, ultimately, you know, do some universities really care, or is it really about getting those bums and seats, you know, the funding? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes it really is like, what, I don't know. It's a bit crazy, because I'm just concerned. I really am concerned with, you know, even this current year 13s, because they didn't actually do GCSEs as well.
Right.
And now they missed their year 11 exams. Now they come to year 13 exams. Like, there has been no opportunity for academic maturity for them. Mm-hmm. And so whether they're able to cope with these exams, I don't know even if they're going to do these exams. We don't even know. I mean, they're saying that they're going to go ahead, but that's what they said last year. So the uncertainty is it's crazy. And it must be quite, you know, difficult for those students as well. But yeah, I just wanted to find out views in terms of those grades and, yeah, you know, what it's going to be like now that they are, or they may be doing exams. I feel like, yeah, the good thing is the pressure is off the teachers, because it's really difficult. And I feel like if there were other teachers that were overinflating grades, then students from schools where they were being realistic, those students were actually at a disadvantage.
That is true.
Because, do you get what I'm trying to say? So there's a problem there, because students were getting grades. There are students from certain schools getting grades that, you know, they deserve. And then there are students that were getting grades that they didn't deserve. And so why should those other students be disadvantaged? Like, we should have all been overinflated. You know, and that's the real concern.
I think it's going to have a really massive impact. The ripple effect is going to be crazy. And I just think we have to stand by to see what happens.
But
more interestingly, like, Mary, what is it like with, and did you have year six at any point across the COVID time?
So the year sixes, they didn't do, obviously, the SATs test. But the year fours, I was in year four, and they had to do the it's called a times table test.
Okay.
So the government have introduced a statutory maths test that every child has to sit in year four.
Okay.
So we did do that. So yeah, they had to do those tests. I felt bad for them. But I did, we worked hard on our times tables. So yeah, the results were good. So I was proud of all of them because they did work very hard, but they had to do those tests. But the year sixes, it was mainly teachers. If they did do like an assessment, they did do a formal assessment as well. They did do one. So, but they didn't do obviously the SATs test, but they did do some sort of assessment.
Do you think that year six are ready for, like, when in the past 2 years when they've left to go to secondary school, do you think they were ready?
No, because sometimes what I find, I feel like sometimes children will go through the education system, and when it gets to year six, maybe let's say they're not working, let's say, to the age or the academic ability that they're supposed to be working at. Mm-hmm. And then when they get to year six, it's kind of like, you know, when you're like driving and then you're, let's go, say, going 20 miles an hour. And when you get to year six, it's like, no, we need to go 60 miles. And to 60, some people are at 20, but they're going to get to 60. And you know, when you're like cramming something, and then when someone crams, as soon as they've done the exam, they don't retain the information because they haven't learned it. They've crammed it. There's a difference between actually learning, understanding, and then cramming just to get through the test. Yeah. So then I think having friends that teach secondary, they say that sometimes a child maybe say, let's say they are told the child's very able, they've done really well in the SATs, but because they've crammed, because they've had to basically have the year to catch up and to get a certain grade, that when they go to secondary, they don't even understand the concepts that they've been taught. So when they get to secondary, the secondary teachers, hold on, this child we're told is, let's say, high ability, but really, no, they're not, they're actually middle ability. So it's like, then that makes the secondary school teachers' jobs even harder, because now they have to get that child to high ability because they're supposed to be high.
And
that's why I do feel that teachers have to give a true reflection of how a child has done, because whatever teacher gets them next, you can't just put them just because you want your grades to look good. Because if you put them, let's say, if the child is low, but you said that they're middle ability, the next teacher is going to think they're middle. You can't put them down, because then you need to explain to the head teacher why the child has regressed. Because the head teacher can say to you, but hold on, the data shows me that this child is middle ability, but now you're telling me, but they've regressed. So you look like it's not great. So
Wow. Yeah, the ripple effects of COVID were
exactly. Yeah. But I just said, listen, I literally said to the kids, I was like, listen, I'm teaching you three in year four in 1 year. So I was like, we don't have time to play. And that's what I told them. So they knew. So I literally just, we worked hard. They worked very hard. And I think one thing that I love about children, and I feel like I wish I was the way, they're very resilient. And like, I feel it's very cool to do well. And that's something that I love in my school. Like, kids actually, it's like a good thing to do well in class. Everyone's striving, not for perfection, but for progress. And I just think it's such an amazing thing to see children, like, they really want to do well. And they take on board that my class would take home, I would send them test papers home, and they would do it all on the weekend. They would do the test papers that I sent home for them. Everything that I told them to do, things that they're not good at, they would do it, and they will come into school on Wednesday on top of the homework. These are 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds, and they're doing the work instead of playing roadblocks or
so that's good.
They inspired me, because if that was me and I was their age, I'd be like, I'm not doing that, because it's it was optional, but they did it.
What we need is a generation like that.
Yeah, a whole generation. Yeah.
And that's why we need to retain teachers who are passionate and love teaching, because then we install that into the children.
It's true.
Yeah. Our young people are sponging, they're soaking up what we tell them. Even in secondary, it's powerful, because they are seeing teachers that are like them. that are like their aunties, that are like their sisters, and people that they can relate to, they can see themselves in.
True.
Yeah, I'm not knocking anyone that is an influencer or who's on Instagram. No way, I'm not knocking them, because at the end of the day, everyone's called to do something different. But it's nice that they can see people who have careers. And yeah, it's good.
That's normal. And it's the normal.
There's nothing wrong
with that. I think, look, we love tangents, you know. I'm going to put it in the bio. But sorry, guys, well, I want to talk about that as well, because, you know, I think sometimes, yeah, nowadays, the generation of today is like, nah, I can't be working a 9-to-5. Can't be.
Yeah.
What? Excuse me? And the kids think that, nah, you know, like, I'm going to, because I'll never forget when one of my students said to me, like, yeah, I want to be an influencer. And I thought to myself, that's great and that. But, like, all she was wanting to do in lesson was put lip gloss on, look cute. Because don't get me wrong, you know, a lot of these girls and boys that are content creators, it is a lot to create content. Do not get me wrong. It's so much. But I feel like, why is there such little value placed on a normal career nowadays? There's nothing wrong with
I don't know.
Career. Like, because not everyone's going to be successful on Instagram. Like, it's not going to happen. And I think sometimes our kids see the Molly Mays of today, and they think, wow, like, Molly May just went on Love Island and look at her now. But, you know, that's rare. That's not, it doesn't happen every day to someone. And there's nothing wrong with having a normal job. And there's, you get job satisfaction, you get money, you can still live a great life. But I think nowadays the promotion is Instagram or nothing.
Yeah. And that's because of that, that's what they see.
Right.
So yeah. So they don't see, you know, the average person that, you know, maybe the teacher that, you know, has a decent income, still enjoying life, still able to do things that they want to do. They don't see it that way. All they see is what they're fed on Instagram and social media, that shows them, this influencer gets free clothes, free trainers, and they get all of these deals and everything like that. They're famous, and that's what is attractive to them. But the average life isn't attractive, and I think that somehow we need to get back to the fact that actually, you know, it's not easy, as you're saying, being a content creator.
There's a lot of work that goes into it.
Yeah, it's not. And so there are some ups and there are downs. Like, evaluate the whole role. Is it really for you? And then, you know, judge it against everything else that also has its ups and downs. But all people are seeing are the shiny parts of being a content creator and an influencer. They need to see the other sides and the joys of being having a normal career.
Right.
Or a traditional career, should I say.
Nothing wrong with it. But boy, like, wow. But definitely, I think there's definitely loads that we will be touching on in the next few episodes. So guys, just to kind of draw to a close for today, what is one thing you are looking forward to for the next academic year?
Let me think.
That is a good question. I'm looking forward to seeing growth in my teaching profession, and being a bit more proactive about how I am growing as a teacher.
Wow, amazing. I love that.
I think
go on, Mary, go on.
No, go on, Bria. I'll go after.
All right, I was literally just going to say, I'm really excited to just see how I grow, how I change. I'm just really excited to see what opportunities come. And if my mindset towards teaching changes, it will be really interesting to see. But I'm just really looking forward to just smashing another year, hopefully with no lockdowns and no bubbles bursting. just getting to a real normal academic year. Like, that's what I'm really looking forward to. And hopefully persuading my head teacher to let me wear sandals, because these toes look cute and they need to come out. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to. But yeah.
I think I'm looking forward to just becoming more confident in my teaching practice and just enjoying teaching again, hopefully having a whole year in the classroom,
mm-hmm.
And just developing, continue to develop as a teacher, and also just, yeah, just in terms of one thing my manager, her teacher said, is that she want, what she wants from us is consistency. So that's something I'm looking forward to, being consistent.
All right.
So, yeah.
Amazing. And we've even said that for us. So, yes. Amazing. Yeah. Right, guys. Well, you know what? It's really exciting to be back with the podcast. And for those that are listening, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. It will be really great if you just drop us a comment or feedback on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the Facebook group. Also, let us know what you want to talk about. And we are always looking for guests to come on. So this will probably drop the first week that most people are back in school. So guys, we are wishing you an absolutely amazing academic year. We can't wait to see your highs, and we will be sharing our highs and our lows, because it's not all about just sharing the good. It's also about sharing the bad and how we've overcome it. And we'll be talking about so much other topics throughout this year. And I'm really excited, as I'm sure the rest of the team are as well.
Yes,
so guys, we are. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will speak to you in the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.